This episode of Christmas Countdown is brought to you by Countdown Network. From Disney to theater to Christmas, parenting, and beyond, Countdown Network is your home for the top-ranked Countdown podcasts in the world.
Merry Christmas, everybody! Welcome back to the Christmas Countdown Show, Season 3, Episode number 6. Yeah, we got some jingle bells happening.
I put those over there, like, meaning to jingle them right at the beginning, and I almost forgot.
There you go. I should bring in my really good jingle bell. Remember, we've talked about that before, my, like, very expensive, nice jingle bells. But you're here, folks. You made it. Welcome to episode 5. Today, we're going to be doing the second half of our top 10 Desert Island Christmas artists.
That's a mouthful.
And there were some great artists.
There were some shockers.
10 through 6.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine.
Where are we going from here? I can't wait to talk about Limp Bizkit. And,
dude, I loved Limp Bizkit in its moment, though.
Did you see that documentary about Woodstock?
Woodstock 99?
When they performed?
Yes.
And literally, like, the whole place, like, everyone
exploded.
All of a sudden just lost connection with reality, and we're like, we just tear down walls now, and that's what we do.
And that, like, the people that were running Woodstock were like, please don't, like, egg them on. They're already, because Green Day had played earlier, and they were throwing all the mud at Green Day.
And they were, like, out of
water. There was no water, nowhere to go to the bathroom, no food. So these kids were already freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, Limp Bizkit, when you go out there, please just, like, be chill. And then Fred Durst went out and was like, let's sing about break stuff! And then
let's bring this place to the ground!
Burn it to the ground!
Yeah, and then they just got in, like, their SUV and, like, left afterwards.
Did I tell you the only time in my life that I've ever really truly felt like I might die was at a Limp Bizkit concert?
Was it really?
Yes. I went to Limp Bizkit in, I guess it would be the year 2000.
Okay.
Because I was a freshman.
In the year 2000.
It was in Peoria, Illinois, where I went to college.
Okay.
And it was either 2000 or 2001. And it was my freshman or sophomore year. And my little brother had come up to visit me for the weekend. So he was still in high school.
Oh.
And we were having a good weekend and everything. And it was fun. And we went to a Limp Bizkit concert. But we had not told our parents that we were going to
this concert.
You can't
tell your parents you're going to Limp Bizkit.
Right. No. And it was Limp Bizkit, Method Man, and System of a Down.
Whoa.
It was a great concert.
That is a recipe for
chaos.
Chaos.
Yes. Yep. And so we're at this concert, and we're kind of up near the front. You're not, like, right at the front, but near the front.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty intense mosh pit. You know, it was definitely elbows were flying.
You punches were in the
pit. Oh, yeah. I used to love to get in a pit.
Wow.
Loved it. Loved it. And so me and my brother are in there, and we're kind of having fun. We're pushing people and getting hit and everything. It's a good time. But then all of a sudden, in the middle of the concert, the people in the back of the floor section, like, just started pushing forward.
Oh, that's dangerous.
In, like, a big wave. Yeah. And so at one point, I was literally not horizontal to the ground, but I was at probably a less than 45 degree angle.
Whoa, okay.
And I had people below me and people on top of me.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just getting crushed and crushed and crushed and tighter and tighter. And, like, everyone's screaming. The people below me are screaming.
Oh,
the people
gosh.
On top of me are screaming. I'm screaming. I'm trying to talk to my brother. And everybody's just kind of trying to push back, but the people in the back were still pushing for it. It was true chaos, where, like, I've been in dicey situations where I'm like, ooh, this could get spicy quick.
Right.
But, like, you could always at least, like, talk your way out of it, or if you had to pay your way out of it, or, like, there was some exit strategy.
You're just talking about Broadway.
Yes, exactly. But this was like, I was like, there's nothing I can do. I can yell as loud as I want, but these people below me can't move, and the people above me can't move. And so it was like a real moment of, like, I'm going to die at a Limp Bizkit concert.
And I'm going to hear Fred Durst
screaming. Break stuff. Yeah.
And that's why they're number 3 on your list, right?
That's right. And that's my reason for Limp Bizkit's whole catalog.
Did they ever, we got to do a deep dive into, like, the most obscure Christmas songs or most obscure artists to record a Christmas song.
Yes, we should. Did we ever talk about, I feel like we may have breezed by this, but there was a documentary that I think was on Netflix.
Okay.
That was all about a guy who collected super random Christmas albums.
Really?
And I'll try to find it. And if anybody is listening and they know, you can send it in to us. But I'll do some research. But there's definitely a documentary that's all about a guy, like, going to record stores all around the country and finding, you know, the most random.
It's a Cal Christmas.
It's a Cal Christmas kind of things. Yes, absolutely.
And speaking of.
Speaking of.
The elephant, as it were, in the moom. Sorry. I was trying to figure out how to get moo into there.
That was good. That was good.
Eric's sweater today, yeah. Folks, if there were ever a reason to go watch our shows on YouTube, this episode is that reason, friends. And I'll just tell you where to do that. Go to youtube.com/countdownnetwork. The link is also in the episode notes where you can watch full episodes. Eric's sweater today, I don't even know where to begin describing it. Eric said to me out in the hallway before we came in, because we'll, you know, sort of like brainstorm a little bit before the episode, like, oh, what's our small talk going to be? And he's like, well, you could talk about my sweater. And I said, I was like, Eric, I don't know if there's enough time in this show to talk about your sweater.
Let me describe it a little.
Please
do. It is an ugly Christmas sweater.
What?
In the vein of, right?
Yeah.
And it has, the entire chest is filled up with a embroidered cow. And the cow has a wreath around his neck and a Santa hat and a barrel of hay below him. And the barrel of hay, this is a pretty cool feature of this particular sweater, it's like a pocket. So if you had a beverage, you could put it right into the barrel.
Is it insulated? Does it keep it chilled?
Probably not.
You could put a koozie in
there. But I could put a koozie in there, yes.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I have to say, my wife bought me this. Aww. So shout out to Lisa. Thank you for buying me this. But she decided to buy it for me because a person in our Christmas Countdown Facebook group.
The private group?
The private group. Bob Speakman.
Bobby.
Back in August. Posted this. It was from Kohl's, and he posted about it, and Lisa ordered it the next day, which is awesome. And I gotta say, I have to point out some of the comments under this thing when Bob posted it. You tagged me saying, Eric, you gotta get this.
I knew this looked familiar.
And then Lisa said, my wife said, thank you for this PSA. Love this so much. Very good. And then Mary Garner, shout out Mary, said that she was on Temu and saw a picture of a thing that says, cowbells ring, are you listening?
Oh my God.
Which is very good. And then Lisa said, May Garner, this is Fab Moolas too.
Oh my gosh.
So my wife is active in the comments with cow puns.
I love that she's
really
in it.
And I really appreciate that.
That's so good. And if you want to be a part of this very moory community, join the Patreon. That'll get you access not only to bonus episodes and some cool swag, some show swag, discounts for merch. You will also get to be a part of this private Facebook community, which honestly, we say this every episode, but they are like some of the most merry people that I have ever known. And they're so welcoming and kind and encouraging. Like it really has become like a group of friends.
Yeah.
Not just like us friends with them, but like them becoming friends with each other. I saw one of our Christmas Countdown crew members, which is what we call all of those people, last year had this idea for like a gift card exchange. Yeah. And they're doing it again this year. So all these people that didn't know each other prior to our little podcast coming around are now friends and sending each other holiday cards, and they send cards to us here. And if you're one of those people, or you're not one of those people, you know, who's a member of the group and you want to send us a card, you can do that. You can email us kringle@christmascountdownshow.com, and we'll send you our PO box, and you could have your greeting card not only read here on air, but we'll put it in the studio. Put it on display for all the peeps.
You know, Danny, so you know I love cows.
What?
And I love cows at Christmas, especially. I'm making a plea to our listeners now. Okay. I made a design for a merch shirt that I sent to Danny. I don't think it's been approved yet, but if we can get enough people shouting out that they need to get this merch, it's basically, it says,
do you have it on your phone? Could you show it to
I do.
People
I,
on
let
camera
me see. Let me
here.
Pull it up here.
What's funny is, so Eric and I do almost all of the designs that are on our website. We have hired some people to do some great designs, like the No Business, like Show Business, Snow Business that Eric wore the other day, the Christmas is Coming, Game of Thrones one. But we do a lot of the ideas, and like I'll throw out an idea to Eric and he'll like send me the design. I put it up on the website. And recently Eric sent me a collection of like designs and I didn't put them up on the website.
And he then didn't think like, they were cool enough, but they're very cool.
A couple weeks later, after I put up some other designs, Eric sent me the whole batch of photos. And he goes, yeah, we got to get these ones.
You remember these other ones that I spent a bunch of time on? But this one is the best one. And it says, Christmas Countdown Show.
Oh, my gosh.
Christmas Countdown with a cow.
It's so great. It's a deep cut.
It's a deep cut.
That one is for the super fans.
Yes, absolutely.
For sure. They are very cute, and I do like them a lot.
But we got some good ones going on.
Did I not write back to you? I said, I was like, well, if you want, like,
you did. You did.
I said, do you need the login information?
And did I do it? No.
No, you didn't.
but I will. I will. We've been busy.
Those would be fun on wrapping paper.
Oh, yeah.
Because we actually, through our printing service, tested it out the other day with like some clip art stuff where I put like an old like red Volkswagen bug with like a Christmas tree on top. Yeah. As like a repeat pattern, which you can buy.
We should do our logo.
Oh my gosh. As that would be wrapping wild. Paper.
That's actually pretty good.
If people had our logo underneath their Christmas tree as this holiday paper, season, that'd be pretty darn epic.
That's
darn
what we
epic.
Should do. We will make this as a wrapping paper with our logo.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send us a picture of at least one present wrapped with our show logo wrapping paper under your Christmas tree.
Yes.
We will send you a sticker.
Okay.
Is that fair?
And how about a magnet?
And a magnet.
While we're at it. Which is, fun fact, that's when people join the Patreon. They get is they get a show sticker and a magnet and a little letter. We do these handwritten letters that we like to send out to people to say thank you for supporting the show.
Thank you so much.
What should we get to next?
Well, you have been wanting to talk about for multiple episodes, Danny.
What?
Cher.
Like me.
This is some breaking holiday news.
It is breaking. It's so breaking that the album came out, I think, a week and a half ago.
But it's okay. You know, and I actually heard one of the songs.
Oh, did you really?
I was listening to holiday radio the other day, and I heard it.
Which song did you hear?
DJ Play Me a Christmas Song?
Yes.
I think was the song.
That's the one. It feels...
So tell people what we're talking about here.
So Cher,
yes.
Who we all know.
The one
she's
and
been
only.
Doing it for ages.
Iconique,
some might say. She is sharing with us.
That was good, Danny.
That was just off the cuff, baby. It's the best. When there's no script, that's when it's the best. That's when it's the most magical. She, for the first time ever, is releasing, or I guess at this point is released, a holiday album because it came out on the 20th. And that DJ song is very similar to... What was that? Do you believe in life after love?
Yeah, kind of a dance track.
A dance track with the auto-tune vibe. So it's a very similar feel. And there's a ton of other artists that make guest appearances on the album. She's got a song with Darlene Love, which is super, super fun because, you know, as we chatted about sort of briefly, I think when you were chatting about Darlene Love recently, is that Cher, when she was 17 years old, she was a background vocalist
on that track.
On Baby Please, Christmas Baby Please,
yeah.
Come Home, which is absolutely amazing. There's also the artist Tyga is on there as well.
Isn't Bublé on there, I think?
Bublé is on there. Cyndi Lauper is on there. Stevie Wonder is on there.
That's a big lineup.
It's a big lineup. Yeah. And Tyga is the one that sort of like stood out to me that I was like, wow, I wouldn't have expected.
I don't know who Tyga is.
Tyga is the type of artist. It's a rapper.
Okay.
Tyga's a rapper. Tyga is the type of artist you're not going to listen to in the car with your children.
Gotcha.
You know, songs like Loco Contigo. Maybe you know that one.
No.
We won't play it. another song called Taste.
Okay. I see where it's going.
You can see where this is going. Yep. A lot of explicit E's. Should be, rather than Tyga, it should be Tygi, I think is what Tyga's name should be. Horrible dad joke. But the name of the song, I love. That Cher did.
Tygi Split. Why am I trying to say explicit? Tygi Split. Tygi Split. You can cut that out. You can cut that out. Oh, God.
Here we are. But the name of the song that Tyga does with Cher is called Drop Top Sleigh Ride.
Okay.
I'm excited to hear that one.
I bet that'll be good.
It's going to be the Yeet Bop banger of Christmas 2023.
Probably.
Were you ever a big Cher fan? Like, was Cher ever an artist like your parents liked? Or
I can't say that it was. You know, I got a little bit into Cher because my family loves Mamma Mia so much.
Okay.
And Cher is in Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, right.
With a pretty cool cameo. So, like, we kind of got into Cher's version of ABBA songs, but, like... I don't have anything against Cher, but it was not necessarily a part of my childhood.
If I was asked to name five Cher songs, I don't think I could name five.
You got I Believe in Life After Love.
I Believe in Life After Love.
You got...
I Got You to Hold My Hand.
Yep.
Living in a House Divided.
Ooh, what's that?
I only know that. I felt like, I was like, if I throw this out, everyone's going to think I'm like... Really no music
knowledge.
The only reason I know that song is because a friend of mine wrote it for her.
Oh, very cool.
I don't think I've ever listened to it. I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sorry. Sorry, Tom. He's Tom Baylor. Out. Well, he also wrote She's Out of My Life for Michael Jackson and Julie, Do You Love Me?
Wow.
Anyway.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But those are the three that I think I know.
Yeah, I don't know that
Chris,
I could
do
more
any Cher songs off the top of your head?
John's got
John's some. Eager to jump in.
Only one I know. Turn Back Time.
Oh
my
yeah.
gosh.
If I could turn back time, down, then I would run away.
When she was on, was it SNL that Maya Rudolph used to do an impersonation?
I'm sure.
Dome.
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 My gosh, so
Chris,
good.
Can you? This will get us to five. If Chris knows a Cher
Chris,
song,
do you know one Cher
we have
song?
Done it.
Yeah, I know a bunch. Bang Bang is an older one. Strong Enough, right? That's the only two I can think of that you didn't already say. Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Wow. Okay. Look at you.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. That one.
Are you a big Cher fan?
I'm really into music, I guess. I don't know.
Do you know Living in a House Divided? It's a great song.
Living in a House Divided.
Harold. Anyway,
oh my gosh, okay,
Cher
that was good.
Has
that
got
was
a
good.
Christmas album yes. this
so
holiday
check
season.
Check
Make sure you check it out, folks. It's a
Do
good one.
Do you know where I heard Cher's song, DJ Play Me a Christmas Song?
A Soul Cycle.
Is I was on Spotify,
okay.
and I was listening to a playlist of new releases, which Ooh. Is actually kind of fun, of all Christmas, like holiday new releases.
Oh, that's fun.
So that's I'm definitely going to be diving deep into that playlist to try to get some new inspiration.
Okay. Speaking of Spotify and DJs,
yes.
have you ever done the DJ feature on Spotify?
No.
It's like an AI thing where there's like a guy who's like, hey, Danny, you know, I know you've really been into these songs lately, so I'm going to put together a couple, you know, not playlists.
Perfect playlist or something?
But like, it'll be like deep cuts of songs that you used to listen to along. He'll say, wow. you know, and when you were in high school, you know, this was the song that was definitely playing in the background at a bunch of parties, you know.
Really? I got to try this.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's like Aaliyah playing or something like that or... Yeah, it's all these like rando songs. I was like, it's fun, and it feels like he's like talking directly
cool.
to you.
That's very
yeah.
cool.
So
very
if you
cool.
haven't checked out that feature, make sure you do.
Yes. I think we have another game before we get to the countdown.
I love
yeah?
games so much.
Chris, you got a game for us?
I do have a game. Sweet. I have a great game. We're going to be doing some Smash or Pass today.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
We have a wheel, but I know on Disney Countdown we call it the Wheel of Destiny. What should we call it for here, though?
Oh, my gosh.
Wheel of... Festivity. The Ooh. Wheel.
The wheel.
Wheel of Wonderland.
Wheel of wheel, Wonder.
The Wonderland wheel. The wintry Wonderland wheel.
Oh.
That's a lot of W's. Ooh. That's kind of good. You like that.
The wintry Wonderland wheel. The
wheel of...
The Wonder wheel.
The Wonder wheel. I think Winter Wonder wheel.
Winter Wonder winter wheel.
Winter Wonder wheel.
Boom. That is how you
winter
workshop
wonder wheel.
Stuff, folks.
There it is.
We have the Winter Wonder wheel.
Yes.
I will bring
Sounds
up
good.
My screen.
Oh, there's
oh,
a lot
it's
of
red and green.
A lot of selections there.
That's like awesome.
It. Emilio never did that. I brought that to the table.
yeah.
Yeah, Emilio, are you listening out there?
Take that, Emilio.
In Georgia, John got a chair.
These are all iconic holiday foods. Here we go. Let's give it a good spin. All
right.
Oh, ooh, sound effect. It's very festive. What is it going to be?
Sugar cookies. And we just say whether we would smash or pass?
Yeah, absolutely.
Smash.
All
I would
day.
I'll smash a baker's dozen.
Absolutely. Sugar cookies, top of the list. Maybe not top, but top three.
Oh my gosh.
Of just things at
Unless
Christmas.
Unless they put cinnamon dots on it.
No, then they're number one.
Why?
Cinnamon Imperials!
Do we know why? I feel like I learned this as a child because I just said, I'll take a baker's dozen, which I know is 13.
Yeah.
Why did a baker's dozen become 13? Was it just in case one like
broke
or something? You yeah. want to have an extra?
I buy that. That seems logical.
If you're a baker out there.
Let us know.
Let us know. We'd love to know why it's called a baker's dozen. But in the meantime, we're going to smash.
Smash those sugar,
cookies. Mm.
Smash them. All right. Let's give it another spin.
Now
it's
I'm hungry.
Time to sound. Ooh.
Canned cranberry sauce.
Not for me. I'm going to pass on that.
Oh, I'm going to pass so hard. So hard. Like, I've never understood the allure
cranberries.
Of it. Like, it looks disgusting coming out of the can.
Yeah.
Sliced doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't help it.
For me. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, cranberry is like a very specific flavor.
Do you like cranberries in any case? Cranberry juice, cranberries by themselves, cranberry sauce? I'm a no on all of it.
Sometimes I'm a little okay with cranberry
some
juice.
Pie or something?
I think maybe when I was 21 and I wanted to like be cool when I'd order a drink going out to like the bar to get like a vodka cran.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Isn't that funny? You never said vodka cranberry.
No.
You vodka cran.
Vodka cran.
With a lime, obviously.
What if they put a little crayon in it instead of cranberries? You said vodka cran.
Oh, that's a funny sketch. The literal guy, yeah, who just literally gives somebody a vodka with a crayon inside of it.
The red crayon.
Oh, that's amazing. So that's going to be a hard...
Yeah, hard pass.
Is there any way you could make it better?
The only time that I've ever even been tempted to try something cranberry is like a cranberry seltzer with some like carbonation to it.
Okay.
Because I do like berry flavored things.
Right.
Like I like blueberry flavored things, raspberry, strawberry, all those things. But cran...
Yeah, but some people love cranberry juice.
Yeah.
They're just like super into it. I don't know. I think that's going to be, in that iteration, definitely a hard pass.
Pass.
Yeah.
Pass. Okay. Let's give it another spin.
There's got to be cranberry lovers out there, right? Deviled eggs. Oh.
No.
For me?
No.
Are you serious?
Hard pass.
What?
I don't do eggs unless my wife or my mom makes them.
Like any form, like scrambled, hard boiled?
Definitely not hard boiled. The only eggs I'll ever eat are scrambled eggs.
Okay.
But I would really prefer that they be filled with cheese and meat and salt and pepper.
Deviled eggs?
Like just straight up eggs. And deviled eggs, I cannot do.
Are you serious?
Cannot do.
I think deviled eggs is one of the most like underrated.
People love them.
Like appetizer,
sure,
items, snacks. When I show up to a party and somebody pulls off that like that Tupperware container and inside that baby is those little, because they make like a custom one for deviled eggs where they just cradles the egg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you see the little sprinkle of, it's not nutmeg. What is it that they put on the top?
Paprika.
Paprika, yes. With the mayonnaise and the mustard, maybe a little like sweet pickle mixed in there. If you show up to a party with like a dozen deviled eggs, I will crush that entire tray.
All of them?
I won't think twice about it.
Would you be that guy that stands by the appetizer table and is just like, I'm not leaving. I'm not going to take one and go and mingle. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to finish this tray.
I don't, like, you better be there, because if it's the type of thing that like you're waiting for someone to bring them around the party, if they get set down first, I'm eating all of them.
I like
every
that.
Single
all
one
right.
of them.
I'm a pass.
Can I add something to the...
Yeah.
Please.
My mom found out that my wife and I don't have a deviled eggs tray, and she was astonished. So for that,
like
I think
it
was that Christmas.
How can one live without a deviled eggs tray?
Exactly. And for that Christmas, that's what we got. A really fancy one.
Really?
Like,
all
I
right.
I didn't know I needed one that bad.
You do.
But thank you.
I don't have... Do I have one? I don't know. My wife will tell me after she listens to the episode. Yeah. Hopefully, she'll show me the tray.
Filled
full of
with deviled eggs.
Eggs,
yes. All right, what's the next one, Chris?
Let's get it going.
Stuffing. Oh. Smash, smash, smash all day long. Smash it again. I love stuffing. I've talked about this before. If we're talking about one food.
Yeah.
It's stuffing.
I think when we did our top 10 foods season one, I think stuffing was at the top of your list. I think I might have had mashed potatoes, but stuffing always very close. But then we did have that heated debate about fruit in stuffing. Remember I shared with you my wife's recipe includes apples.
Right. Which if there was any fruit to go into stuffing, that would be the most acceptable.
What about sliced cranberries in your stuffing?
I bet some people do that. But
would you pass?
I would pass. It would make the stuffing, I would have to eat around it.
I feel like that's like a dish you would see at like Christmas in like the 70s where like somebody showed up with like a stuffing.
I got my cranberry stuffing.
But a top of it is like they've sliced it and just sort of layered it all across the top so you can't see the stuff. You're like, what is this? Is that just a bunch of cranberry? No, 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 no.
Cranberry stuffing.
This is cranberry stuffing and you're going to love it.
Oh, God.
Two scoops.
But stuffing. We've said this before. I don't know why we only eat stuffing like twice a year.
It's got to be year round.
And Christmas. It should be like French fries.
Yeah.
I wish when I went to a fast food place and they're like, do you want fries with that? And I go, do you have stuffing?
What are my other options?
You can get a salad or stuffing. I'll take stuffing.
I will take. They should make stuffing into fries.
Oh, that would
stuffing
be
fries.
Stuffing fries would be great.
What would you call them? Fruffs.
Struffs.
You know what I would love to see is like in a McDonald's fry container, just filled with stuffing. Just like chunks.
You a fork?
And a little fork, and you just eat it right
out of
there.
Like a Gutbuster sort Absolutely. Of situation? Yeah. Can you imagine Gutbuster?
What's Gutbuster?
You never had a Gutbuster?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So let me take you back to my childhood.
Okay.
All right. So after I would finish playing my baseball games, there was like a snack bar there, and they would get like not the small little Frito bag, but like the big size
sure.
Frito, not the big scoopy ones, but like the regular size. Yeah. They cut the top of it, and then they pour chili over the top of the Fritos, and then cheese and all the other things.
Eat it out of the bag.
What if you did like a stuffing version
That'd be good.
Of that Fritos with like stuffing and then gravy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, doesn't that sound delicious?
We always call those walking tacos.
Okay.
That you would do it like over Doritos.
You get a spork.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like the only time a spork makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Can somebody please make stuffing fries?
We need stuffing in our lives more often.
That feels like an air fryer thing, right? Ooh, yeah. Doesn't it? We should try.
All right. What you got next?
I want stuffing fries so bad right now.
Ooh.
Hot chocolate. Yes. Man, it's hot.
It's hot chocolate. Smash for me.
Yes, yeah, smash it all day. I don't think there's ever a time where someone offers me a hot chocolate where I go, you got water?
Yeah. I do like a hot chocolate with a little bourbon.
Okay.
Hot chocolate is not too shabby. Especially if you're going out to like look at the zoo lights or something like that.
Yeah.
You're walking around. You need just the warmth of the hot chocolate, but a little extra. Love hot chocolate.
You can't go wrong. It is the perfect drink when you're going out Christmas caroling. Perfect drink if you're like, I don't know, just hanging out at night watching Christmas movies, having some popcorn, a little hot chocolate. And we'll talk more about this later in the season, but chocolate bombs, cocoa bombs, which we had for the first time last season from Bissinger's and Hallmark Channel. So good.
Yeah,
so I think that's going to be a smash all season long.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do your kids drink like chocolate milk ever?
No.
So my kids love chocolate milk. Well, really, my son does more. And he has no concept that when he drinks chocolate milk that he just gets the biggest milk mustache, like all the way to his cheeks. And I'll be like, wipe your face. And he's like, what? Do I have something on my face? I'm like, yes. How can you not feel that you have chocolate all over your face? Oh, and he just is like completely ambivalent to it. And I'm like, if I ever drink chocolate milk, and I have, and if I get a little chocolate mustache, I feel it, and I get a napkin, wipe it off as soon as I take a sip.
Right.
But he will do a full glass and just go the rest of the day. If I did not go and wipe off his face, he's like, I'm good to go. There's nothing on my face.
Why do like milk mustaches happen so much to children? Like is it a way that a child drinks milk versus like the way we've learned to drink milk? I don't really drink milk, to be honest. I like almond milk.
I drink about a gallon of milk every 2 days.
Really?
By myself.
This shirt is making so much more sense.
The cows, it's all part of it.
You are pot committed on the cows
and dairy. I love it. Chris, thank you very much for that game. That was very fun. I like it. We will play more of that this season.
Yeah, there's a ton of like spots that we didn't even use in this one. Yeah, there was a bunch that we
didn't pick.
The Winter Wonder Wheel.
Winter Wonder Wheel.
Is that
that's
right?
What it was. Yeah. Okay. Winter write Wonder
that.
Wheel.
I will forget that. Right, so let's write that down. Eric, the weekend is almost upon us, which means one thing and one thing alone. Can you guess it?
New Hallmark Channel movies.
Oh, it is the most merry time of the week when we're on the precipice. It is Thursday, and looking in the not so distant future are three brand new Hallmark Channel Christmas movies. And there's one that I'm really excited about. This weekend, it's super punny and super funny.
Okay, I like that.
Never Been Chris'd.
All right.
Now, I don't know if you saw, but in our little private Facebook group, Chris, who is the producer of this show,
I did see this.
Did sort of like a silly version of the art. And I was laughing at this last night because I thought it was funny. You thought it was funny, but we thought it was funny because we knew this movie was coming. And then it dawned on me, I don't know if all these people know that there's this movie coming out on Hallmark Channel movie.
If they had the Hallmark Channel movie checklist app, they would know.
They would know 100%. But I was like, they just think that like Chris superimposed our faces onto women's
two
bodies.
Two random ladies'
and like,
bodies.
Okay, Chris, let's get a little too serious here. But I'm excited about this film starring Tyler Hines, Janelle Parrish, and Pascal Lamothe-Kipnis.
Mm.
fun name to say.
Yeah.
Sort of like Francisco.
Francisco.
In the movie Elf. But I love this movie because it feels like something that many of us, you know, have dealt with at one time or another when you go home for the holidays, right? You know, you have these two lead characters, Naomi and Liz, and they've become very successful. Mm-hmm. And they're returning home, you know, for the holidays, and they start running into all these people that they went to high school with, and this whole conversation about redos comes up. And I don't know if you've ever run into this, but you know, I'm from a small town, and I can remember, like, when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I would come back home for the holidays and I'd go out to like a local restaurant and I would run into like all these people I went to high school with. Did that ever happen to you?
Not really. Only okay. Because my parents moved away from Chicago right after my brother graduated, my little brother. So he was only a couple of years behind me.
Yeah.
So I never really had that. I mean, I've gone back to Chicago since, but not ever like at the holidays where you sit. I know of this phenomenon, but right. I've never experienced it myself.
It's a super interesting experience because, you know, much like sort of plays out in this film, Never Been Chris'd, you're like, well, I remember that person to be like super popular.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
They were like the prom king or queen. And they're sort of like forever locked in as that person in your mind, like the 17, 18-year-old version. And then you start to realize, you know, this happens in real life and in the film, is that like, oh, their lives have gone on for the last 10, 15, 20 years, whatever it might be. And you sort of start to figure out who these people really are, which is, I think, a really fun subject matter to explore. But there's one thing they do in this film that I really, really love, is that when they first come back home, they start to identify who these people are, you know, like most athletic, class clown, and like a picture will pop up of them. So it got me thinking, what if we were to do like a Christmas character version of superlatives?
I like this. Like characters from Christmas High.
Exactly. And we pick like the top five, like class clown, most popular, most athletic, most likely to succeed, and teacher's pet.
Okay.
We have to assign like a Christmas character to it.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that. Well, I'll give one to you first.
Okay.
Why don't you do class clown?
Class clown. Okay. A lot of silly Christmas characters
sure.
over the years. But one that stands out to me is, I think, just an actor that I think is hysterical in general, which is Danny Kaye.
Mm.
And love him as Phil Davis
in
that
White
old
Christmas.
Chestnut White Christmas. I just, he always cracks me up. I think he's really great at those like pratfalls.
Yeah.
He's like a Gumby sort of guy. So I'm going to go.
Song and Dance Man.
Song and Dance Man, which we need more of those.
Yeah.
But I think at Christmas High, the class clown has got to be Phil Davis.
Okay. I like that. That's good.
All right. So for you, let's go most popular.
I feel like if we're looking at Christmas High and we're like, who's the captain of the football team? You know, who's the class president? All of those things, they're just super popular. Everybody loves them.
Yep.
Santa Claus.
That's got to be Santa.
I mean, I feel like he is sort of the man in the middle.
Yes.
That unless you're going to go with, like, Jesus, I think you're probably going Santa Claus as most popular.
Yeah, he is president. He is mascot.
Yeah, all of it.
All
he
the
does
things
it all.
At Christmas High. Okay, another one for me.
Okay, why don't you do most athletic?
Oh, this one feels easy to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, think about who is pulling Santa's sleigh and has to fly all night long all around the globe.
Sure.
You got to be pretty darn like shredded and
ripped.
You got
some quads.
You got your quadzilla, basically.
Yes.
And who's leading that sleigh? Rudolph.
Mr. Rudolph.
So I'm going to go most athletic at Christmas High has got to be Rudolph.
I like that. That's a good selection.
All right, next for you, we're going to go most likely to succeed.
Most likely to succeed. You know, okay, this is a good one. This is a bit of a throwback.
Okay.
There's this movie, Santa Claus the Movie, which I don't know if you've seen it yet.
I've
but
never
there's
seen
a
it,
character
no.
played by Dudley Moore named Patch, who's sort of like Santa's like best little elf helper, right?
Okay.
But he's an entrepreneur. And so he's trying to always make like new toys. And he's like, Santa, look at these new toys. And like, he's trying to get Santa to do video games and stuff like that. And Santa at this point in the movie just wants to make little wood cars and stuff.
Yeah.
So Patch, he makes these candy canes that make kids fly. So
oh,
he starts a whole business. So, yeah. I'm going to go Patch from Santa Claus the Movie back in the early 80s.
You know who Patch would get along really well with?
Who?
Liz and Naomi. From Never Been Chris, because they're very entrepreneurial.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much for the listeners out there, but they developed this technology that is very, very cool that sort of pops off for them, and you get to see how that sort of plays out across the film. So I feel like Patch, Liz, and Naomi would be buddies.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Who would be the teacher's pet of Christmas High? Whew.
I mean, we got to go with someone who's eager to please.
Yeah.
Right. And when I think of like people who are eager to please, and it's funny that this person's popping into my mind because there's a scene in Never Been Chris'd where this film is playing in the background.
Okay.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I love that movie.
And I mean, who is more eager to please than Clarence?
Ding, ling, 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 ding, ling, ling.
Just wants to hear that bell ring, right?
That's good.
So I got to go teacher's pet, Clarence.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Wonderful Life. Yeah. If you're looking to take a little trip down memory lane and think about maybe those people from high school that maybe you haven't seen in years, or maybe you're maybe you just saw them recently and you know them as sort of like class clown and all those things, make sure you check out Never Been Chris'd. And you can find out why they say Never Been Chris'd. Yeah. The way that sort of plays out in the film is super, super fun. I like how they work that in. But it's a brand new film starring Tyler Hines, Janelle Parrish, and Pascal Lamothe Kipnis, which premieres this Saturday night, November 4th at 8, 7 Central. It's a great one. Honestly, it's been one of my favorites so far of the season. So you guys are going to want to make sure you check that out this Saturday night only on Hallmark Channel.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
All right, that was awesome. I'm so excited to see that. But I think it's countdown time, yeah?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Let's do it. Okay, so folks, here we are. The top five of our top 10 desert island Christmas artists.
How are you feeling right now about my where, list? Yeah, like 10 through 6. Like, I've been having a little bit of like...
Dread?
Well, I'm looking at the people that didn't make the list. I'm like, how did I not get them in there? We always sort of run into this, like... In between recording sessions, I'll look at the ones that aren't on there and I go, could I sacrifice a 5 through 1 and take one of these people who's not in there and put them in?
Which is crazy.
I know.
Because you were taking somebody from your 15 through 11 and bringing them up to the top five?
It happened. I
mean, Leapfrog?
Bing was originally at number 9 and he worked his way all the way up to 6.
All right.
These things happen.
I couldn't do it. My top five is so perfect of like five amazing artists.
It's missing Dean Martin.
Dean Martin was on the list. He was at 10. All right, let's actually recap for you. Yes. For me, I had Dean Martin at number 10. Mm. I had J.D. McPherson at 9.
9, yes.
I had Mannheim Steamroller and Trans-Siberian Orchestra at 8. I had Kenny Rogers at 7 and Nat King Cole at 6.
I'm still reeling.
That is...
Kenny over Dean Martin is just like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around that one.
Yeah, it's tough. But I'm trying to, you know,
that's what we do here.
Trying to spread it out. Yeah. Here we go. Okay, so my number 5 was mentioned before, which is Pentatonix. Pentatonix. As we said, they have 7 albums or an 8th one coming. They're so great. They just make great music. They do good Christmas music videos.
Yeah.
They do specials every year. They know how to like sell the season. It's also interesting to me because they strike me as pretty avant-garde type people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? If you look at their fashion and like the types of stuff that they wear, like they seem a little more edgy than their content necessarily is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They sing a lot of very wholesome kind of classic songs, but the way they dress is very edgy and cool. But their version of Mary Did You Know cannot be topped. And that's a great song. Let's hear a little bit of Pentatonix version of Mary Did You Know.
Mary Did You Know that your baby boy would one day walk walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that
I mean, the arrangement rendition, of that is so beautiful. I mean, beautiful song, obviously. But I think if I had to have just one artist on a deserted island for the rest of my life in my five slot, I'm going Pentatonix.
Yeah. I love that you bring up like their fashion, because I feel like a cappella groups have like a specific look to them. Yeah, yeah. And like, I feel like, you know, look, I grew up loving a cappella music. If I was a better singer, I would probably be in an a cappella group. But I feel like there's just like, you could put a cappella singers in like the hippest clothes and give them new haircuts, but
they're still a cappella singers.
They're still a cappella singers, yeah. You know, like it's just, that's what I see when I see Pentatonix, but like they're just so incredible and
cool, yeah.
So fun. And I'll never forget seeing them in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade back in 2012. It was just, that was like right at the beginning of their career. I was like, who are these people?
They're great.
They're a cappella, they're Christmas. It's all the things I love.
Yep.
So great selection. All right. So recapping my 10 through six, at number 10, I sort of stretched the rules a little bit and I went boy bands.
That's right.
Could be in 98 Degrees, could be in Sync, whatever. You know what I did not share is who my 10B was, that I was literally debating
who
between.
Was it?
It was Andy Williams.
Oof.
Yep, I know. I'm sure there's people out there who are like, how in the world did you not put Andy Williams on your list? I'm sorry, folks. That's why you got to come back for the bonus episode.
That's right.
He may be there.
Maybe there.
You'll find out. Number 9, I had Bublé. Number 8, Pentatonix. Number 7, Ella Fitzgerald. And number 6, Bing Crosby. Coming in at number 5, and I'm shocked, I'm shooketh, as the kids say, that I have this person at number 5. Limp Bizkit. No, I'm
You got me.
I had to. I've actually been Googling throughout the episode to try to find Limp Bizkit.
Fred Durst.
Christmas music. It exists.
No.
Maybe we'll close out the episode with a little Limp Bizkit Christmas music. But no, at number 5 is Dean Martin.
Fair.
When I look at the 4 that are up in front, you know, the thing is about Dean is like, Dean, one of my favorite performers of all time, and though he did lend his voice to Christmas music, I don't necessarily think of Christmas music first.
Sure.
When I think of Dean Martin, I do think of like That's Amore or Ain't That a Kick in the Head or the stuff he obviously did with Frank and with Sammy. But obviously, like his voice, you know, being lent to songs like Silver Bells. Like it's so good. His Winter Wonderland, I love. Obviously, Baby It's Cold Outside, we love. I also love, if you guys are into going onto YouTube and watching like old clips of like old Christmas specials, the 1968 Dean Martin Show Christmas special, which was a year after him and Frank did like a family one together, sure, which you can also find on YouTube. I love his performance of Marshmallow World on that show. It's so funny. He has like two women standing with him that I don't know why. Like, I was watching it last night. I was like, I don't know why they're there other than just to like, they're like flirting with him the whole time while he's like trying to be like serious. One of them was like whispering in his ear and the other one's like tickling him. And I was like, somebody pitched this as a bit.
Yeah.
And they're like, but it's fun to watch him sort of like trying to keep a straight face.
Well, the other thing about him, when he did the Dean Martin Show, he was like notorious for he came to zero rehearsals. So
that's
like
right, yeah.
They would rehearse the whole thing and figure out we're going to do this bit, then we're going to have this part and then this part, but he would only show up for the show.
Yeah.
And so I've heard interviews with people that were on the show and they'd be like, you'd have a guy standing there that was like, this is where Dean will be, but you never knew if Dean would actually be standing there.
Right.
And so I think that's what gave it that sort of really spontaneous kind of feel.
It definitely feels that way.
Yeah.
Or they didn't even know if the women were going to be there. And last minute, the director's like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if
some
lady
yeah.
stood there? But Dom DeLuise is in that special, yeah. Bob Newhart, all these like iconic performers. But the song I want to listen to is a song that I wanted to bring up on a previous countdown. I even mentioned this to you after we record. I was like, oh crap, I wanted to do a different Dino song.
Okay.
So I want to listen to Christmas Blues.
Oh yeah, you played this for me.
So for people who know Dean Martin, you know, we know all these iconic songs or iconic songs, but Christmas Blues is one that I don't know if I had heard until a few weeks ago, so I'd like to share it with everybody now. Let's take a little listen to Christmas Blues by Dean Martin.
The jingle bells are jingling, the streets are white with snow.
The happy crowds are mingling, but there's no one that I know. I'm sure that you'll forgive me if I don't enthuse. I guess I've got the Christmas blues.
Good, right?
So good.
It feels a bit like Elvis.
Yeah.
In a way. I think the reason I like Dean Martin and the reason I like Elvis is the similarities between them. Their voices just have a lot of like...
That real deep.
Low, yeah. Deep. I'm like, oh, I can sing like that.
Yeah.
Which is probably why... I like them. But yeah, Dean Martin, you can't go wrong with him. That's why I've got him at my number five.
I love it. That's even that is probably too low for poor old Dino.
I know. But I feel like he should have been top three, but then I look at my top three and I go, sorry.
What are you going to cut
Dino,
out?
This is where you're at. Yeah.
So my number four is Buble.
Whoa, okay.
I got Buble at four.
Ooh.
What could possibly be three, I know two, now, and one?
I mean, I know that... one who's going to be there for sure.
Sure.
I feel very confident that I know who one of your top three is.
Yeah.
But now that Buble's out of the running.
I know. I got Buble at four. So I got Michael Buble at four. As we said, he's only got the one album.
Right.
But there's the deluxe version. I was trying to think of a great song to play for him. I love his version of Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home. It's probably my second favorite to Darlene Love's version of it.
Okay.
Let's listen to a little bit of Christmas, Baby, Please Come Home by Buble.
The snow's coming down.
So good. Just rocks.
Yeah.
Great arrangement with the band. Did I tell you that I saw him live?
No.
Me and Lisa went to see him a couple years ago at Staples Center, or now Crypto Arena.
How was it?
He was great. He was so great live. He just was talking to the audience a lot. You know how some artists, when you go to see them live, they play their music, but they don't really conversate with the audience? He had so much conversation with the audience and like talked about how this was a big deal for him, and you know, playing Staples Center was like a huge deal, and like he seemed so grateful that everyone was there for him, and he acknowledged the band a bunch and his backup singers. He just was so gracious and so classy. And it was a spectacular show. So if you've not seen Buble in concert, highly recommend it.
Did he sing any holiday tunes, or was it all?
No, because I think this was, we saw him in like April or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't anywhere near the season. But yeah, so that's going to be my number four selection. Michael Buble.
Buble.
I love Buble.
He's so good. Well, this is a perfect artist to transition into my number four.
Okay.
And that's going to be Jamie Cullum.
Yeah.
Something in me wanted to put Jamie higher on the list, but he's only done the one Christmas album.
But it's so good.
And it's so good. And then he released like the complete edition, you know, the next year. And just the way like he writes, the way he sings, the way he performs, you know, on songs like, you know, Hang Your Lights, Show Me the Magic. I love that song. His version of All I Want for Christmas Is You is great. He does a bunch of other like classic Christmas songs that we all know. Much like you were just talking about Michael Bublé, I have seen Jamie in concert a few times over the years, and I actually just saw him a couple weeks ago here in LA. And it's interesting, you know, you're talking about Bublé, and he's at Staples, and he's saying like how gracious, you know, how grateful he is, and he's super gracious about the experience. Like Jamie was doing like the exact same thing. Like he was like, you know, my first real like venue I ever played at here in the States was here in LA, and it was a really small jazz club. And he said in the audience was Michael Bublé and Herbie Hancock.
Wow.
And he goes, so as if it wasn't like a pressure cooker enough that I was performing in LA as like a 21, 22 year old kid, he goes, I've got like the guy who's sort of become the king of it.
Yeah.
And he made this joke about like Bublé sitting there and be like, there's only room for one of us around here, kid, to do this sort of thing. But I love his style across the board. I've talked about him ad nauseum on this show. And I wanted so badly, I know that it was September when I saw him. You know, but like, you know how like people will shout out in the middle of a show. They'll be like, you know, something, you know, whatever song Free you want, you know, Free Bird or whatever. Somebody shouted out one song at one point, and I looked at my wife and I was like, I really want to shout out Hang Your Lights.
Piano Man at Christmas.
Yeah, like Piano Man at Christmas. That's exactly what I, just to see like what his reaction would be. Because at the Disney Music Hall, Have you been there?
I've never been inside.
So the way it's set up is really cool, where like there's the typical like audience, like sort of like out facing or like looking in, but then there are these like sort of like elevated areas to the side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And we were on the side where his piano was.
Yeah.
So he was really only maybe, I don't know, 20 yards.
So he would have heard you.
Oh, he would have heard me loud and clear.
Yeah.
And it was the type of concert where he was like encouraging like audience participation. Like at one point he invited everyone to come down to the orchestra level.
Yeah, you talked about that.
And security was like, wait, what are we doing here? So like if I had screamed out like, hang your lights or Piano Man at Christmas, he would have heard and probably got a little chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
But the song that I do want to play for everybody, because I know I've played a bunch over, you know, last couple seasons, I want to play How Do You Fly? Do you know that song? Let's play a little bit of it here. It captures, I think, the spirit of Christmas. When I think of How Do You Fly, I'm trying to think how to say this without getting super emotional. It's like as you get older and maybe you start to lose the magic of the holiday season, it almost feels like an adult who's trying to tap back in to the magic of Christmas. So let's take a little listen to How Do You Fly by Jamie Cullum.
Let's say hello to the real world. Give her a wave, tell her it's okay to be scared of being discovered. Find it hard to trust another, to feel awful like a child when you are grown. Saw you swoop by.
That's really good.
It's beautiful. When he gets into that part of like, how do you fly? Oh, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Trying to hit these falsetto notes, but it's just, it's beautiful. Like the lyrics of it connect. Like I think so often, you know, we have these big dreams and these things that we want to do with our lives. And, you know, the world can beat up on you a little bit. And sometimes you just want to go back to simpler times where you believed that in yourself that you could do anything. And this sort of feels like an adult's cry to like feel the magic of the season again. If you haven't listened to it yet, go do yourself a favor. Listen to it. It's How Do You Fly by Jamie Cullum.
I love that. You know, it reminds me of two things. Mm-hmm. One, let's give a shout out to Jamie Cullum and the artists that do original Christmas music.
Yes.
While we love all the old standards and we love hearing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and all those things, I really appreciate when an artist writes original Christmas music.
Yeah.
I love that. And then the other thing is, going off what you said, I saw a meme yesterday that said it was a parent who had just tucked in their like 3-year-old daughter, and they heard their daughter as they were walking out of the room say, "I love you, Teddy." And then like then they heard her say, "I love you, self. I love you too." Oh. And then they said, don't ever lose that, kiddo. Mm. Don't ever lose that loving yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. All right. My number three. Number three. Oh, my gosh. This guy is so good. How do I have him at three? Harry Connick Jr.
I knew he was going to be on your list.
Harry Connick Jr., baby. He has 4 Christmas albums.
Okay.
The best one being When My Heart Finds Christmas.
It's so good.
Which I've talked about many, many times. But he also has Harry for the Holidays. He has music from The Happy Elf, which was like an animated special that he did the music for.
Yeah.
And then there's What a Night, a Christmas album.
Mm.
So he has those 4 albums. But I've talked about it before, but I'm going to talk about it again. When My Heart Finds Christmas is, I think, the most perfect Christmas album.
Really?
It is just top to bottom, gives me all the feels. If we had to do this list, but it was like just one album,
mm-hmm.
I would go with this album.
Okay.
It would be number one.
Was it number one on your, because we did top 10 albums, I think, to kick off last season.
I think it was.
It must have been number one.
Yeah. It's so great. It came out in 1993. It has Sleigh Ride is so good. When My Heart Finds Christmas, It Must Have Been Old Santa Claus. Let It Snow, Ave Maria, Pray to the Wooden Soldiers, I Pray on Christmas, I Pray on Christmas. Oh, so good. There's just his Oh Holy Night, and then he finishes it off with What Do You Do in New Year's. Oh. It's just the best album. So if you've not listened to it, go get yourself a deep dive into Harry Connick Jr., but especially that album. Let's listen to What Do You Do in New Year's.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So we'll listen to that.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year? Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the new year. New Year's Eve.
So silky smooth.
You know why I think we don't listen to that song a lot at Christmas?
Because it's a New Year's song.
It's a New Year's song, yeah. But I mean, look, we all continue to celebrate the holiday season up until New Year's Day and beyond. So,
and it's really asking, it should be, if you think about the chronology of it, it's saying, what do you do in New Year's?
Mm.
So you would, in theory, be saying, hey, do you want to go on this date for New Year's?
Right.
Which you're not going to do the day before.
No.
So it might be the week before. So it might be December 22nd or something.
Yeah. It could be like you're getting bold and like you know that you're going to go back home for the holidays, like for Christmas, but you're going to be back home, you know, to Chicago, New York, wherever you're living, maybe the 29th, 30th.
Yeah.
And you're starting to like put the feelers out the there weekend. That you want to have that party with that person.
Yeah.
That's such a good song.
Number three for me has got to be Harry Connick Jr.
So good. So I'm so glad you turned me on to that album because I listened to it the other day because I was like, I got to listen to this album because it's just so darn good. All right. Number three for me, I feel like I'm finally giving this artist their due on the show. Because every time we do a countdown that involves music, I always say, I love this artist, but I don't include them.
Okay.
Carpenters.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Carpenters. Yummy. That Christmas portrait, specifically the special edition reissue.
Yeah.
That production, like I don't want to just call it an album. Yeah. I want to call it a production because I realized something when I was listening to the album the other day, and maybe I mentioned this last season, is that it feels like a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a big overture
at
the top. There's medleys that are in there. Like, you know, speaking of hot chocolate, right? And like sitting down and sipping a hot chocolate at the holidays. What I want everyone to do this holiday season at some point in time is just sit in your living room, your study, wherever, get yourself a hot chocolate, or whatever beverage you want, you know, that sets the mood for you. Put this album on.
Vodka Cran.
Vodka Cran with lime. That's your vibe.
And a red crab.
Get it in there. But no sliced cranberries. Right. That's not allowed. Sip your drink and just listen to this album from beginning to end. And because you will find, and put your phone away.
Yeah.
That's a challenge to myself too. Put your phone away and just let the visuals start to come to you, because what I realized when I was listening to this album is like, I feel like I'm at the Radio City Christmas Spectacular.
Yeah.
With the overture in the beginning, the fun little medleys. Like I love the Winter Wonderland Silver Bells medley is so good. And then when Karen Carpenter hits you with her Ave Maria and Christ is Born, oh my gosh, I'm getting chills thinking about it right now. It's like you are transported. Like I just imagine myself like at a holiday show in a gorgeous venue and this lead singer is just up there taking you on.
Even the artwork of the album feels like it's a part of the whole thing.
It really does. Like the Rockwell sort of style. Like I would love to see somebody do a stage version of that album.
Yeah.
I feel like you could totally do it with like little scenes in between. Because that's basically a Christmas Spectacular at Radio City. Just block out an hour and a half of time after your kids go to bed, or if you don't have kids, like at the end of the evening after work is done, get your drink going, get the crackling fire going, and just listen to Karen Carpenter just take you away. It's so, so good.
I love that. Do you want to listen to a certain song?
Let's listen to her Ave Maria.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, Chills.
Breathtaking.
Literally chills, yeah. So good.
Amazing. All right, so we only have two left.
Two left, top two.
Top two. This is your top 10 Desert Island Christmas artists.
I know who one of them is going to be for you.
I know, but who could the other be? Number two for me.
If you go...
Frank Sinatra.
No, Eric.
Frank Sinatra Eric. At number two. We love Frank. You know that we love Frank. Just let it happen, Danny. Just let it wash over
gosh.
You.
Gosh.
Frank Sinatra, he probably should be a number one.
He should be.
But, I mean, there are other people that have to occupy that space, you know? So number two for me is Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
I have a feeling he's in your top two, so I won't say too much.
Maybe.
But our love for Frank Sinatra is well documented.
Yes, that's true.
He has so many great versions of all of these songs. As I said on, I think, our last countdown, I really like when he does the hymns. Mm. Like, it's fun. I love his version of Jingle Bells and stuff like that, but I want to listen to Hark the Herald Angels sing.
Oh.
Which is like one of those hymns, and he has such reverence for it. And, you know, he was a devout Catholic and I think took the season for what it was truly meant to be and sort of honored that. So I don't need to talk too much more about Frank Sinatra. You know I love him. You love him too. But let's listen to Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join in the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.
So great.
Yeah. He really crushes the hymns. I'm glad you bring that up because, like, he does so many, and we think of, like, the more, like,
the
mainstream
stuff. Yeah.
Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, all that sort of stuff. But the way he does, like, Joy to the World and all those are so, so good.
Yeah.
Number two. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Collect myself here. All right. Number two for me, Nat King Cole.
Great.
Nat King Cole. Great. Whenever I say Nat King Cole, all I can think of is the Rat Pack live album. Because, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. used to do all these impersonations.
Yeah, he does a great version.
And whenever he would go, Mr. Nat King Cole, and you would hear Frank and Dean go in the background, was a merry old soul. Like, to try to break him, like, every single time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I talked about, like, Bing being, like, the voice of the holiday season, right? But as I get older, as I listen to more of his music and just gain an appreciation for his voice, for his style, like, Nat just feels... like Christmas to me. I mean, obviously it's well documented, as you said, like our love for the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting, but he has so many other beautiful renditions of songs that he has done. I want to shout out just a couple right now. I love his Deck the Halls.
Yeah.
I love his God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
That's a great one too.
I love Caroling, Caroling. Caroling, caroling through the snow, Christmas bells are ringing. And you know, I want to play his Silent Night.
Oh, yes.
Let's listen to a little bit of Nat King Cole's Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon and child.
Perfection.
That song, it gets me every single time. And I'm so glad that we're doing like the hymns countdown, because I feel like we're really going to get to do a deep dive into Silent Night on that episode. But you can't have Christmas without Nat King Cole. He really is the greatest. But that's my number two.
I love it.
I'm sorry. I'm so distracted right now because I wondered coming into this episode if this was going to happen. And you would think that I would have known.
You would think.
Walking into this studio space today.
You would think.
As much as we talked about this at the beginning of the episode, it didn't dawn on me.
Didn't dawn on
until
you.
Until you said Sinatra.
Think about it. You have one artist to listen to. You're stuck. This is the only music you're going to hear for the rest of your life. Just one artist. It's got to be Rob Barrett Jr. and Terry Asau with It's a Cow Christmas. Don't lie to yourself, folks. You know it's great, just like I do. It is the greatest Christmas album of all time. And if I only had one thing to listen to on a deserted island, I'm going It's a Cow Christmas. That's why I wore the sweater today in honor of it. Let's play. What song should we play? Let's play We Three Cows. That's a good one. We Three Cows of Bethlehem.
Is that the one that starts with moo, 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 moo,
moo, moo, moo, moo, moo, moo, the like Andrew Sister one? It's a Cow Christmas. Number one, deserted island. Pick for me. It's a Cow Christmas.
We three cows of Bethlehem are still awaiting kings from afar, but we wander where the thunder of all these wise men are. Oh, star of wonder, star we sing, we await the ones you bring, but to mangers we're no strangers, first came cows and then came kings.
There you go. That song's so good.
I don't know.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
The thing is, I swear to you, Eric, like a week or two ago when we were starting to map out the season, I thought, I was like, no, he wouldn't. He couldn't put it above Frank Sinatra and Nat King Cole and all these people. And then even when we were standing in the hallway outside here today and you put on the cow sweater and we talked about it for 5 minutes at the top of the episode, never once in my mind did it like click, like, oh, Danny, he's going to go there. And I'm honestly glad. Because it's like when you don't mean to spoil a gift on Christmas, but you do.
Yeah.
And then you're like disappointed because it would have been so much more fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad that it dawned on me.
It surprised you.
In that moment.
Yeah.
Oh, so great. Nicely done. Somewhere, Rob Bear Jr. is listening to this episode, and he's like, thank you guys for the love. Well, you didn't put Frank in number one.
Rightfully did. Probably.
Somebody else did.
Yes.
It was between him and Fred Durst, and I had to go...
with Fred Durst.
I had to go with Fred Durst. Sorry, Frank. Sometimes you just got to break stuff. That's like right. The format. No, Frank Sinatra is number one.
Yeah.
You know, Dean Martin, number one entertainer. Frank Sinatra, his voice, and especially his voice on holiday music, like the hymns that you were talking about, he captures it so perfectly. I love the Christmas specials that he did over the years. Obviously, it's very well documented on the show that his version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is my favorite Christmas song of all time. His Jingle Bells is fantastic.
J-I-N-G-L-E.
Oh, it's the best. But the song that I want to play is an old song that I just stumbled upon recently. And maybe you've heard it. Maybe you haven't. You probably have, Eric, because you're a huge Sinatra fan. But the name of the song is Christmas Dreaming.
Oh, I'm doing my Christmas dreaming.
Yes.
A little early this year.
It's so old, Frank. It's like him in front of a band somewhere in Jersey, like when he's in his 20s. His voice it's Frank, but it's a different.
Yeah.
He had
different eras of his voice.
Yeah. So let's take a little listen to Christmas Dreaming by Frank Sinatra.
I'm doing my Christmas dreaming a little early this year. No sign of snow around. And
it sounds like you're listening on like an old crackly radio, and like that's your own. There's no TV.
Yes.
It's just we're like, let's turn on the Christmas program. And
stepping up to the mic is a young singer,
Francis Albert Sinatra,
with his version of Christmas Dreaming. And then he walks up to the mic. Yeah. Oh, what? Can you imagine being alive at that time and sitting around like just this huge box?
Yeah. Do you think that they knew that they were in the golden age of music back then? Like, I feel like we listen to music now and it's mostly crap. And like, I don't think that we're in a golden age of music. But like, do you think that they knew that they were in a golden age of music in the 40s and 50s?
I don't think they knew.
Yeah.
Just like you know, when you're in a place and a time, you don't know how it's going to be interpreted
in the future.
In the future. But the thing is, and I had this thought as we're talking about it in the moment, is why is that the golden age of music, or why do we think of it? And I think it's because that was the only medium that people really had to share their voice, sure, their story, their music, whatever it was, with the world. So I think when that's your only outlet, inevitably, you're going to put a lot more care into,
sure,
it. Where, yeah, now it's like you got to think about, like, what's the social media cut? Yeah. What's it going to look like on YouTube? All this. Inevitably, your bandwidth,
yeah,
is spread. And because there's so much all the time, I feel like people don't worry about the quality being as high.
Yeah, it's more about quantity.
It's all about just, it's, you know, it's like disposable, it's clothing, yeah, you know? Like, whereas back in the day, it's like you wanted every song on your record to be a hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I miss those times. And how do we bring that back? I don't know.
I do think that there is a little bit of a push for, like, sustainability,
yeah,
in clothing, music, homes, you know, all that kind of stuff. So hopefully
I think we're getting there.
The pendulum is coming back.
I think the resurgence of that golden age of music and, yeah, and movies, and seeing all these artists like we're talking about who are reaching their highest spot ever on the charts,
yeah,
40 years, 50 years after their album was released, 60 years,
yeah,
is because we are hungry for quality.
Yeah.
And I think we're in this interesting transition point, which I'm excited to be a part and to put quality content out into the world. You know,
We're trying, folks. But that is going to wrap us up, yeah, for this one. This was a great list. I enjoyed this one immensely.
Yeah.
We have a great list coming next week.
Super excited about it.
But we will be back next week. Make sure you follow us on the socials at Christmas Countdown Show on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, at Xmas Pod on the X, and full episodes on youtube.com/ Countdown Network. Make sure you tell your friends about us, rate and review. And we will see you on the next one, but we like to close it how we always do, by saying Merry Christmas.
And Happy Holidays.
We will see you on the next one. Bye-bye, everybody.
See ya.